Hello and welcome to another podcast of Me, Myself and 40K with me, your host, Inquisitor Archer, known on the internet. So, what have we got this week? Well, as in the title, you can see it's finally the first battle report, or bat rep, as you want to call it. So I'm excited about that, for me and Amber, going back and forth with the Death Watch kill team, with Sergeant Clyde, and the orcs of the Deathscore clan, Oktaz's Lucky Blue Gits. What a good battle it was. If you want to know all about that, you have to listen to the podcast. If you are new to the podcast, welcome, and sit back and listen to my 40k podcast, where I talk about the Warhammer 40k, the tabletop war game, and obviously lore and obviously things behind it, as it were, as well. Let's get straight to it. Hello everyone and welcome to this episode. So, updates for this week are not a lot really for 40k. Well, since we last looked at the updates, it was obviously more orc stuff is coming out for the Codex, because they haven't got all the stuff out yet. And obviously a few Black Templar things, obviously the Black Templar is going to be the next Codex supplement for the Space Marines, as it were. The only article that I'm going to look at, obviously 40k, is they revealed, I think over a week ago now, I was waiting for another post about 40k stuff, but it doesn't seem like there's going to be anything that I'm posting. So at this moment in time, there's nothing posted. So the only thing that I need to talk about really is a Black Templar, and he is a chaplain. And his name is Grimaldus, the relic-saving and orc-smashing High Chaplain of the Black Templars, as the title is put on the article. So they did a video reveal, which was good. So obviously now you've got several named characters as Primaris. You've got the Emperor's Champion, you've got High Marshal Helbrecht, or however I'm going to say it. And now you've got the Chaplain. So now he's crossed over to the Rubicarian, and now he's a Primaris. Angry chaplain instead. So a big angry chaplain, not just an angry chaplain. So he's in his... So looking at the model itself, it's fantastic. I mean, again, I'm biased because obviously I like Black Templars and I like the whole zealot sort of thing of burning all the heretics and stomping on anything's face, especially orcs, because I think they like stomping on orcs. I do like that whole zealous sort of religious type feel to them, as it were, as a chapter itself. Now, if you look at this model, obviously he's a big Primaris dude now, and yeah, I think it kind of smashes new Primaris with old traditional chaplain-esque, as it were. And obviously he's got his two weapons, he's got his Cronus Arcarium and his, it looks like there's a plasma pistol, or it could be even a heavy plasma pistol, I don't know. And he's obviously there, linked to him by chains, and obviously then attached to it, or like manacled to his wrists, as it were. He's got obviously very chaplain-esque, so he's got the robes, he's got his book at the side, he's got his litanies book at the side, he's got two sort of draping parchments at the front, which is pretty cool. I think the one thing that shouts out to me, which I don't like, is the grill on his helmet, because it looks like it's teeth. So just like he's doing like a weird grin, but whatever. I mean, if that's what it is. But another thing that I think most people like, is obviously he's got the candles and stuff behind him on his backpack. He has very distinctly a lot of metal studs on his armor. So obviously that's from the old model as well. So on his helmet, on his greaves, on his neck guard, even on his pauldrons. And even on like his backpack as well. So that's, I think it gives a nod to the old model, as it were. GW or Warhammer say that he's fought. He got his Hero of the Hell's Reach, as it were, fighting against the orcs. And this is where he gets his sort of distinction, but also his distinct sort of characteristic, where he gets his three holy relics from a temple that he kind of crawled out of as it collapsed. They are carried by his little retinue of Cenobite servitors, as it says. So there's three of them. And to be fair, they look pretty cool. Actually, I do like them, actually. And so obviously the main one is obviously the banner and obviously the remnants of the Fallen Temple. So there's three. There's the Banner of the Fallen Crusaders, there's the Scepter of the Anointing, and also there's a remnant of the Fallen Temple. So basically it's part of the temple that fell down. It's basically just like he's carrying it on his back like a cross, basically. But it's the Aquila and then just a big stone like base. And yeah, I mean the banner looks really cool. The guy, and he's got like a little swinging, like, what's it called? And they got like an ointment sort of thing. But yeah, they look pretty cool. I mean, to be fair, you know, these would be pretty good for just normal servitors. They look pretty cool. So apart from that, I mean, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, he's a cool character. He's got lots of history behind him. Like, he's got his little retinue of servitors, as it were. But I would say that is really about it for updates. The only other thing, updates, obviously, we've got a rumor engine, which I don't know. It kind of looks like an Age of Sigma one, but it could be also, I'm thinking about it, it does look like a prow of a raider. And I think it could be for the Dark Elder bringing out like their Archon Lord fella. But it also could look like one of those ships from the Sea Elves from the Age of Sigma. So don't know. I have no clue about that. That's about it, really, for 40k. I think one of the things that are really other coming out soon are obviously more orc stuff and obviously the next two codexes, which we believe obviously are an Imperium and a Xenos one. And we believe, or it's rumored to believe, that they are, it's going to be the Gene Stealer Cult and Custodes. So yeah, that's it. On to the next part, which will be the battle rep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the first bat rep, here it is. I have to apologize in advance because it's a bat rep, and I've just realized this, that I am trying to talk to you about a bat rep. So I have notes here about what happened, what I think the key notes, anyway, the key points, is where the highlights of the battle. If anything, I would like some feedback of how I do this, because obviously it's the first time I've done it. And to be fair, I'm basically going to tell you round by round what happened and sort of the highlights of the match, as it were. So if you want to go back and obviously know the ins and outs of the match itself or the kill teams that were involved, go back to episode 20, 21. And in the section where I was going to do bat rep, I'll give a lowdown on the mission objectives, the two kill teams, so the Death Watch kill team that Amb played, and then obviously the Orc kill team that I played. And from there, yeah, the mission was called Strike to the Heart, and it was an objective mission, but also it was a kill mission as well. So you'd get points for killing thing, taking out your opponent's people, and also holding your objective or taking the enemy's objective. I do also have to say that Amber was a bit shaky on the rules. I was as well, to be fair. So I mean, I had to reread the rules again, but we got through it. So what I'll do is round by round, I'll tell you the highlights, what happened, and we'll go from there. Round one, Death Watch got priority or initiative, as it were. There was some moving doing, because obviously we were doing a train. It was quite a lot of train on the board, so we're trying to move around it and stuff. Amber moved around a few people. Terminator jumped up her. Oh, actually, I do apologize. First of all, Amber spent a command point to move up her Terminator because she was a veteran. She used a special move and advanced up the board. Then round one began, and she jumped up her Vanguard veteran to take the middle part of the board. She moved up a Terminator. She readied two guys, so both the sergeants, and moved around the Black Shield. I, on the hand, I readied my flash kit, and I moved up a lot of people. I actually advanced a few people as well, because I advanced one person to the side to try and sneak around the other side. My commando was moved up, advanced up, and I advanced one of the knobs up with the chopper and slugger. And my demolition expert, or Mozok, also moved up to get ready to shoot, as it were. So in round one, the watch sergeant was already readied, so he fired at my flash kit and wounded him, which was not good for going off on one. And then the flash kit shot back, and he missed completely. After that, we went to normal shooting. So Amber's Terminator, or Lachlan, shot at my demolition. Oh, well, actually, she managed to basically use her fire because she was in short range. So she was obviously in rapid fire range. So she got four shots with the Storm Bolter, and she designated two shots to one of my knobs. And then because he was in 2 inches of my demolition knob, she decided to put two shots into him. She wounded the knob, and then my demolition shot back against the Terminator. I did wound him, however, Amber rerolled to save and saved it, so I was pretty miffed at that. After that, her intercessor sergeant shot into the knob that was already wounded in front of the Terminator and just took him out. Yeah, so first round, I was already down a team member, as it were. So not too good. Round two, the Death Watch got initiative again, so Amber rolled good on the initiative. I think I rolled a double one. Oh, sorry, 2-1, so I rolled two, I think. So from there, she moved. She did a few sort of movements around. She tried to take the middle of the board with her Intercessor Sergeant and her Vanguard. Terminator, I think, readied. There was some more movement around. Like, I think the Black Shield was trying to support the Terminator, etc. I readied a few people. I readied my Demolition Specialist, my flash kit, and I moved a few people around, but I made my commando charge the Sarge, Intercessor Sergeant, and the Vanguard, which I managed to do without being overwatched, and I managed to get him in as well. After that, shooting wise, so prior to shooting, the Terminator shot and wounded my Demolition Knob, so Smozog again, and then the Watch Sergeant shot Ugtaz and wounded him. So Ugtaz was not happy at all, because Ugtaz at this point was getting up the middle of the board and trying to go for the objective at this point, to go for the enemy's objective, so the Death Watch objective. And then from there, the fight ensued, and I have to admit, this is where the turning point for the Orcs, because with my commando, he was my combat specialist, so I had four attacks, and I designated two to the Intercessor Sergeant, so Clade, and two into the Vanguard, and I managed to take them both out, which was kinda not good for the Death Watch, because that's basically like 40% of their force is just destroyed. So yeah, Mr. Commando was doing really well. On round three, I managed to claim the initiative this time, which wasn't good for the Death Watch. So Ugtaz tried to charge the Watch Sergeant on the other side, failed, but I still managed to move him, I think, 5 or 6 inches towards him. So basically, I was trying to get the objective. I tried to charge my commando into the Terminator, who overwatched me, who failed. And then Amber retreated. So it retreated 3 inches away from the commando to make my charge harder. But I think I rolled something stupid, like a 12 inch charge or something like that. I literally got 2 sixes, and I was just like, doesn't really matter. So I charged the Terminator, but then she countered that by charging her Black Shield into my commando. So it was kind of like a three-way fight, as it were. And then readied models for shooting. The flash kit shot at the Watch Sergeant in the back holding the objective and took him out of action, which was pretty good for me, because then now Ugtaz was basically holding the objective. So then from there, it ensued to the fight where, so the commander went first and I managed to wound the Terminator, but I didn't manage to take him out of action. I actually just flesh wounded him. So I took him down to 0 wounds, but I just flesh wounded him instead. And then the Black Shield Neuro managed to take my Orc commando out. So I was like, no, right. So from there into round four, Death Watch got initiative again, which was good because they needed to sort of get things around. So they only had two models left. It'll be the Terminator and the Black Shield. So the Black Shield charged Ugtaz and the Terminator readied. I did some moving around. I mean, one of my guys, it was a Krog Skull. Hadn't done anything in the entire match because I was using him to outflank or on the other side of the board to try and get the objective. But he was just basically a waste of space because I just tried to move him around. Ugtaz was in combat and my flash kit was too far away and my demolitions expert was too far away to do anything anyway. So the Terminator shot my demolition knob and didn't be able to wound him, unfortunately. And I think I shot back and I think my flash kit couldn't see the Terminator and my demolition guy was out of range of his Scorcher and only had 2 shots for the shooter. And I think I just failed. I think, I wounded him, and then she obviously has a 2-1 save, so she just, Amber just saved the Terminator. And then from there, the fight pursued, so the Black Shield fought and wounded Ugtaz. However, actually took him down to 0 wounds, but only managed to flesh wound him. So that was a bit of a annoyance to Amber. And then obviously Ugtaz countered and actually managed to take out the Black Shield. And then we kind of suggested, because obviously Amber only had the Terminator left and he was flash wounded. I mean, it didn't matter because the Space Marines and the old edition of Kill Team just ignores first flash wound that they have. So, but she had one model left and I had 3. I had Ugtaz, my flash kit, Krog, and I had my wounded demolition expert. So it was a bit outweighed. And so we just called it. So an Orc victory. But it was well played. I mean, like, again, I have to give Amber quite a lot of credit. She hasn't played Kill Team for I'm going to probably say maybe a year or so since our last campaign of Kill Team. And the last time she played Harlequins. So it was a little bit different for her to play Deathwatch. But, you know, she persisted and she did really well, I think. Next battle report will probably be one if I'm going to probably do a 40k battle with one of my friends. And I will probably just make notes against it and obviously just record it. Anyway, I hope that's been a good first bat rep for the podcast. Like, again, if you have any comments or I could do this better, let me know either by messaging through Anchor or using my email. Obviously, everybody knows it's me, myself, and 40K. So that's me, myself, and 40K, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And any comments or any sort of feedback, greatly appreciated for future bat reps, as it were. So I'm really excited about this. I think it's really good. A really good section, and I hope I'd gave you all exciting parts of my bat rep, as it were. So hopefully after this we'll be able to get the new edition Kill Team and play that as well, and get Amber's Harlequins involved as well. So there. Anyway, next to the lucrative sponsor. So right, what topic have we got today? Well, I'll tell you now on our chat along today. Unfortunately, we don't have a guest, but you know, you can just listen to my lovely voice instead. The topic today is kind of 40k based, but I mean, well, it's any wargaming based, really. The topic today is actually sort of getting your partner or like a friend or a family member involved in what you do, your wargaming. Or it's more, I'd say it's more in line with getting a partner or a spouse or you know, a close friend involved instead. Because I mean, in the past, you know, I've tried to get partners involved and they've said no, or they've said it's only for guys and stuff like that. And it's just like, well, not really, no. And I mean, without going on off on one, because obviously my opinion is, you know, well, my opinion is opinionated, is the concept behind sort of like certainly female gamers, and that means gamers in general, is war gamers, you know, video gamers, you know, whatever. They have a almost like they're categorized in a certain way, and then I don't like that, because I mean, obviously there's some people who give a wrong impression. So obviously, as we all know, like, you know, people on like Twitch and all that kind of YouTube, that, you know, it's just like, yeah, they're not gamers. Anyway, not talking about that. We're talking about how to get your partner or your spouse or like I said a very close friend involved in what you do is wargaming. And I had some information. I've always tried to look into it, because also I've always tried to get, you know, my partner or my girlfriend involved in these kinds of things. And obviously, because, you know, it's nice to do that. And I have a wonderful girlfriend, Amber, obviously, and I managed to get her involved in, obviously, Warhammer, and it was through Kill Team, because obviously when Kill Team came out, it was quite new, and I played it with lots of people, and then she was like, oh, I want to play, or I think she didn't say I want to play, but she said, I kept saying to her, oh, how about, you know, we have a game sometime, and, you know, and I think I managed to get to play one or two games with my miniatures, and I think she kind of enjoyed it, I believe, or I think she did, because then she went out and got her own Kill Team, so she bought a box of Harlequins and then kicked the shit out of my Deathwatch over and over again, repeatedly. But we're not talking about me, we're talking about how to get your partner involved, as it were. And some information has come from YouTube channels, forums, I've sort of scoured, you know, like information for. And so there's a few YouTube channels which I would say, or, you know, they're okay. One in particular, obviously quite a big name, is Tabletop Minions. He does lots about painting and gaming and stuff like that, and he put one about like getting somebody involved, a family or friend member, and obviously all the forums and stuff like that. Coming across this information is you can tell they say it in different ways, but the one number one thing you need to do is when you're trying to get new players, like a spouse or a partner involved, is don't put any emphasis of things like winning and losing, or oh, you've picked a shit team, or, you know, a faction or something like that. It's nothing is involved in that. That is nothing. They're just gonna say, well, you're a douche knob, and, you know, go and play by yourself. So you have to keep this in mind. This is the number one goal you need to do with anybody, is make sure they're having fun and make sure they have fun while you're teaching them anything at all. So that's the number one goal. So always remember that. make sure they are having fun. I mean, obviously you have fun too, but I mean, obviously, depending on partners, you know, your kind of fun might be more tournament based, more competitive, and you're trying to cheat somebody who doesn't want to do that. And so, yeah, the fun could be different, but at this point, it's their fun. You need to make sure that they're having fun and, you know, they're learning something and that they're willing to do it again. That kind of goes on to the next aspect of sort of the topic, as it were, and that's trying to get them involved in different ways. Now, the way I see Warhammer 40k or any wargaming sort of thing is there's two parts to it, and I think most people would see this, you know, kind of say, yeah, this is correct sort of thing. Is there's the wargaming and playing side of it, so playing the actual games, you know, doing the actual battles, etc., and then there's the hobbying side, so the building, painting, you know, all that kind of jazz. Now, some people are going to be more inclined to one or the other. I mean, me, myself, I like doing all of it. And obviously, I'm sure most people would be that inclined as well. But for instance, I know people who only build and paint or just paint. And that's fine. I mean, I got back into Warhammer 40k. I mean, you can look back for my pilot one, where I said, like, I got back into it because of my mental health. And I thought, oh, maybe painting might help. And I think I had a friend on Twitch and he was saying, like, oh, well, yeah, I don't play. I just paint models and I just buy whatever random models I want. And then I just paint them and it's quite therapeutic. I said, wow, that's a really good idea. However, obviously the hobbying side, and I would say, like, is a very creative side of it. So people who are more creative than others might excel in that side as opposed to the wargaming strategy, playing, competitive side of it. However, obviously, we all like playing games, and obviously, again, these are toy soldiers, miniatures, and obviously, the wargaming side of it is obviously a big thing, because obviously, certain with people who are either military background, you know, like they've got a military background, or they like that kind of things, then yeah, this is like almost like a strategy game that obviously you don't just play on a computer or whatever, and obviously, collecting the models as well. Maybe, for instance, your partner might have a artistic side, maybe. So maybe go down that way. Or maybe, you know, if they have more of they see you playing, you know, get them involved while you're playing a game, maybe. I don't know. But there are certain ways you can get it done. The easiest way is obviously to make them play a game and to get them into the wargaming side and the playing, because that's how they're going to learn. And then obviously the hobby can come later. But for instance, you know, like I said, you might have a partner who she's a really good painter, or he's a really good painter already, and you could get them down that way instead. And then you say, oh, well, you've painted these now. Why don't we have a game? Obviously, I think one thing, you should never be pushy at all. I'm not trying to give, and this is not, and I feel like this is turning into almost like a relationship sort of advice. It's not. But yeah, I'm grasping at straws a little bit, because there are ways around it. Like, for instance, I'll give you a few examples of, well, I just gave you an example then of, like, oh, you know, making them build something, paint it, and then go, oh, having a cash of a game now. But another side of it is, you already have models and train and stuff like that. Just set up a small game. I mean, like, Kill Team is a great example. Kill Team, Warcry, any other games as well, like, that have small interactive, like, games, as it were. Obviously, I'm talking about 40k, so, you know, Kill Team would be a good one, or a very small points battle. So, I mean, 200 points, 250 points, literally not even a legal game sort of thing. It's just, I mean, even if push comes to shove, just get some minis and just, like, throw them on the table and just have a go. But if you have all the stuff ready and just say, oh, you know, and just do basic rules, so just movement, shooting, you know, charging, you know, even negate things like psychic phase, negate things like command points and command phases, or even morale, just negate most of the extra bits and just go for the almost bare bones. So moving, shooting, charging, fighting, four phases. I mean, that's how it used to be, you know, in second, third edition. I mean, well, I don't know, second edition, but third edition. That was basically it. There was no command phase. There was a psychic phase, but I don't remember it because I didn't really have any psychers in my force at that time. However, that's the best way to do it. And just have fun. But to get to that point for them to actually playing a game is get them interested in helping you make decisions. So this is the next point, is like, yeah, so get them interested by helping you make decisions. So for instance, if you're painting, you know, a certain squad. How about when they come in and say, oh, you know, how long are you going to be or whatever? You say like, oh, make them pick a color. From other people have said like, oh, make them pick a color scheme. No, that's going to be like, you know, make them pick a color. Just one color when you're painting. Say, oh, should I pick this dark green or should I do this? Sort of like this like turquoise instead or something like that. And, you know, and obviously they're going to first, that reaction is going to be like, why are you asking me? You know, it's your army, your miniatures, you paint them how you want. But getting them involved in little things like that is a really good thing to do. While you're playing a game, if they come in and go like, oh, how are you going to be? You can literally just say, oh, I'm just about to roll my attack against these people. Do you want to roll the dice? And it works. It does. I've seen it firsthand. Like, if you get people involved in little bits, like rolling your dice for you, you know, they become more interested. And like, for instance, certainly if it works, like, for instance, if they roll like, you know, triple sixes and stuff like that, you'd be like, you know, give them a praise and be like, yeah, you know, like, you just basically massacred that squad for me. Thank you very much. But even if they roll badly, all you need to do is just take it on the chin and go, oh, well, you know, say something like, oh, well, I'm rolling as, you know, you're rolling as bad as me. So, you know, or when I say it like that, say more like, well, we're a team together. It says, well, I'm not having very much good luck either. And, you know, make it out, you know, don't make it negative at all. Or another one, a good one, is if you go down to the shop together, warm shop or whatever, where you get your minis from or things like that, is ask your partner to make a decision between two boxes. So you can literally say, I've got box A, I've got box B. I like these in this box, but then also I like these. They both complement my army. I want an outside perspective. Which do you think looks better? I mean, they will be taken back by it and go like, well, you know, I'm not into this. I don't know anything about these things. I mean, just like reassure them and say, I want an outside perspective. Do you mind pick, you know, could you just pick a box for me sort of thing? You know, just pick which one you think looks better or, you know, looks more mean or looks more evil or looks more, I don't know, heroic. And if you get them involved, they're more likely to be interested in what you're doing. I mean, I have to say, I mean, about, you know, putting her on a pedestal, but Amber is a really, really partner in the case of me and Wargaming and War 40K, because she takes a tremendous amount of interest in my hobby, and I like that. That's one of the things why I like her and I love her because so much, because she takes a very, very big interest in my hobbies, to the point where, you know, I can either just turn and go like, ask her where I'm painting, go like, does that look all right, and she'll go yeah or no, it needs to be done this way, or you need to do another highlight here, or use a different color here. Literally, that's what happens sometimes. I literally just go like, does that look okay, and she'll be like, nah, it looks shit, do it again. Or sure, I would say, oh, is that enough highlighting? And she'll go, yeah, that looks really good. You know, leave it as it is. Don't do any more. And, you know, I think I'm quite, you know, what's the right word to use? You know, I'm quite lucky for her to do that. So anyway, so yeah, get them interested in different ways. Like say, pick a color, make them pick a box between two boxes, make them roll dice. And eventually, you know, they will probably say, oh, you like, you maybe, you know, could get them fine and say, like, oh, you know, Do you want to get involved? Maybe one time is make them go to the store and say like, oh, do you want to pick your first team sort of thing? You know, your first unit sort of thing. And they might, yeah, they might do that. And then that's when you almost like you get them involved in the hobby, because then you'll be like, right, okay, so you've got your team now. So we'll build them and paint them, and then we'll play with them sort of thing. And that's what kind of what happened. Like I said again, going back to example, Amber. So I got involved in Kill Team, had a few games, and then she went to the Warhammer store and she bought her Harlequins, her first box of Harlequins. She was like, yeah, I'm gonna basically kick my ass. Basically, she wanted to win. So she had Harlequins, and obviously I was playing Death Watch at the time, and you know, I helped a bit. Well, actually, I think I built most of them for her, but I got her. But the thing is though, I kept her involved. I asked her, how do you want them to look? What weapons do you want? How arms? And I used to blue tack their arms and heads on and say, does that look okay? And then she'd be like, yeah, that looks great. Or no, you know, do it again. But I'm not being, she didn't say that. I'm being harsher than she was. She just like, oh, I prefer it this or something like that. But I would almost like dry, put them together and be like, oh, is that good enough? And she'd be like, yeah. So then I would glue them together. So then they'll be what she wanted. And then obviously then I prime them for her. And then obviously then I helped to paint them. So I painted the first one and said, oh, you know, is that the color scheme you want sort of thing? And because she already had it in mind, and she was like, yeah. And so then we kind of took it in turns painting you know, one model. And it was, yeah, it got there. So now she's got, you know, a full kill team and the Shadow Seer. So yeah, she's doing pretty well for herself. On the roads to a Harlequin army almost. Right. So I think about the last sort of point is I've kind of almost gone over it already. So the first time you play, you basically go back to basics. Use basic rules. So I think, like I said, I kind of went over this already, but like, yeah, use basic rules. So yeah, just use very basic rules. Don't do command points. Don't do command phases. Yeah, you don't have to use psychic powers. You can bring that in later. Don't do morale. You know, these things that are not needed really in a game. Well, they are, I think, in the sense of wargaming, because obviously they show like different interactions and stuff. But yeah, moving, shooting, charging, fighting is fine. Don't use jargon. That's another thing. Don't use any jargon whatsoever. And I think it actually came up when I did the kill team bat rep, is like things like, I think I said something like a D3. And I think, well, I do know Amber knows what a D6, D3 is, D12. She knows what D20, whatever, you know, all the dice. But sometimes somebody might not know what a D or a D6 or a D3 is. So for you to say, oh, D6, go back to base and say, oh, roll that six-sided dice, or roll that six-sided dice, but half the amount. Or like, for instance, a good example from one of the people that I saw is like LOS. So we all know that LOS is line of sight, but don't use sort of that kind of language for a new beginner. And I do this with Amber. The next point I do this with Amber sometimes is help them with their decisions. So explain to them what's going on. So for instance, I think in our last battle, I said, oh, you could do this with your Terminator, or you could do this. And I gave two options, and then she made a decision herself. So, or you could say something like, well, if it was me, I would do this. However, you could do this. So give them an options. And in that way, they're making a decision for themselves, but they have your sage advice as an expert, because obviously that's what we're going to see, whereas as an expert or somebody who knows what they're talking about. That is almost like, you know, student versus teacher sort of thing. And not versus, but student and teacher. The teacher needs to obviously give the student enough credit where it can be and enough sort of advice and guidance. So yeah, so for instance, yeah, help them with decisions. So you could say that, oh, maybe you should shoot at this squad because they're the most aggressive at the moment, or they're the most sort of likable, they're the most eligible target at the moment. Or yeah, maybe you should move over this way, or you know, if you do this, you can shoot that person and then charge that person, or something, you know, something like that. So help them make decisions, and without trying to spoon feed them and like coddle, you know, mollycoddle them, because that's not, because, you know, at the end of the day, people know when they're being mollycoddled and sort of thing. So don't do that, because that's just not another thing. But you need to make sure that they're, you know, that they're comfortable still. And yeah, just have fun. Just have fun. That's, again, number one rule, have fun. Number one rule, have fun. Yeah. And that's it, really. And that's my advice for trying to get a close friend, a spouse, a partner involved in your sort of your hobbies and your wargaming. And hopefully, yeah, we'll get more people involved, as it were. On to the next part, which is going to be the quiz. So obviously, quiz with the missus. So right, everyone, this is the intro to the quiz with the missus, where I quiz Amber on some sort of lore or models of the 40k universe. So last week we had Space Marine chapters, which she loved, because she loves Space Marine chapters. So this week we're going to go for a topic which I just plucked out the air, and we're going to go for priests of 40k. So as usual, what you can do is you can sort of listen along, and obviously if you don't know what we're talking about, the best thing to do is to Google these beforehand, so then you can look either on the Warhammer website or on Google, and you can see what we're looking at, or see what Amber's looking at and what she's describing, as it were, because it might be a little bit difficult sometimes. She's saying like, oh, this has got this, and you're like, you have no clue what you're talking about. So we've got four obviously questions in total, and obviously there's three answers, one of which is correct. Obviously now I'm going to give you the correct answer, so then you can obviously go and look at these things. Going in order from question one to four, these are all the correct answers. So question one is going to be a dark apostle. Question two is going to be an iron priest. Number three is going to be electro priests. And number four, dialogus. And that's it. So that's all four. And obviously next is the quiz itself. Hello everyone and welcome to this Quizzes with the Misses, where obviously we quiz the Misses. The Misses is Amber. Our beautiful, our amazing, our wonderful, our spectacular, our splendid, our gorgeous. She's laughing now because I'm just saying shit. Our wonderful Amber. Hi Amber.
Hi there.
Hi there. You okay?
Yeah.
You looking forward to this quiz?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, you don't know what the quiz is, because obviously I just picked a random topic out of the air, but obviously everybody else does, because in the intro I told them. So we are looking at priests of 40k, priests.
Yeah, why? No.
You're gonna make a shitty joke then, won't you?
No, I was just gonna say, oh, my favorite thing, and then I realized what it says.
Dirty priest.
Hey, children.
Although, was it a priest in the audiobook you're listening to that was like snooping on a young?
No, that he was a, I think he was either a rogue trader or he was just like some diplomat or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine then.
So yeah, priests, obviously, how many priests do you know in 40k?
I thought he was going to say in real life then.
40k wise though.
40k wise? I don't know.
Anyway, by the end of this, you'll know a lot, won't you?
Totally.
You'll know four more.
Four more than I knew before.
Exactly. You have your pictures ready?
Yep.
The audience knows what they already are, so they can look them up and obviously Google them and look at them. So, as usual, so it's three answers per question. One is right, two are not right. I say not two are not correct. You have your lifelines, eliminate one and phone a mum.
Oh, actually, mums might be available.
You've got the first picture up.
Yeah.
Should we go straight into it?
Yeah.
Right, so what do you think of him?
Oh, it is a man. Okay.
Oh, it is a man.
God.
It's always, Helga.
It's always the men.
Always the men.
God, podcasts are sexist.
I know.
I'm joking.
Even though before this, I just talked about trying to get your partner in.
you idiot. Okay, so he looks very angry.
Yep.
He's an angry space marine.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is a space marine.
And he has some weird, almost as if, what do you call it when?
Branded.
Oh, you knew what I meant.
I know.
I saw the pokey motion. He's been branded. He has white eyes for some reason.
It could
reason.
Be branded or it could be scarring.
Okay, well, we'll go with branded. Well, I'm going with my description, okay. Not the official
Sorry.
He has a lot of flames. He has flames on his book, but his book is also dripping with flame light. Why is it dripping?
I don't know. Maybe it's not flame. Maybe it's jam or something.
Jam. Oh, he's in a sticky mess.
Yeah.
Bloody priest.
Yeah. Shall I get to it?
Sorry.
So is this?
Hang on, I haven't finished the script.
Oh, sorry. So
he's
continue.
He's got a staff with a bull on the end, the spiky bull, and he's pointing it.
Yeah.
And he's got flames.
Yeah.
Candles.
Lots of flames.
A fire hazard.
So is he a? So yeah, he's a space marine, and to let you know, yeah, he's a chaos space marine.
Looks like he's got horns for that branding or scarring.
He does have horns. Yes.
He has horns.
Yes, he has horns. Because he is a chaos space marine.
So
is he a chaos priest?
No.
Is he b a dark apostle?
Ooh.
Or is he C, an accursed lord?
Ooh. Well, I don't want to go for chaos priest because you've just told me it's chaos and I wouldn't have known that, but now I do. I think that's too obvious.
Remember, it's GW we're talking about.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Okay. So, don't know.
Do you want me to read them out again or do you want me to?
Yeah, go on.
So, is it a chaos priest? Is it a dark apostle? Or is it C, a accursed lord?
Oh I want to say dark apostle.
Oh okay, it's not for chaos priest then.
No,
you don't think he's a lord?
He might be, but I don't know if lords have horns or lords have
sticky fingers or...
Sorry for my delay, I was actually asking my mom if she's a
lord. Oh okay.
Right, I'm gonna go B.
B?
Yeah.
Oh, are you sure?
No, no. But I'll sit here debating it for about 10 minutes.
Okay, shall I do the countdown?
Go on then.
Ding!
Yay!
He is a dark apostle. Now, I don't think I always forget this wrong. So I think if it's a dark apostle or a dark apostolite, but if it's apostolite, then it'll B. I think it'd be spelled differently. But yes, he's a dark apostle. So he's actually a chaplain. So, you know, a space marine chaplain. Mm. The shouty ones that go shout litanies out. Obviously, he's a chaos version of that. So obviously when a chaplain becomes chaos, they become dark apostle. And yeah, they basically, they just rant and rave about chaos being awesome and, you know, not liking the God Emperor, and the God Emperor's a douchebag. And
does he say?
I think he probably might, because
you call him a douchebag.
I think he would.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, well done.
So why?
Come.
Do we know why he's dripping?
I think it's probably because the fact is that he's obviously chanting litanies or prayers of dark prayers. So obviously that's why his book's on fire. And I think probably from that is obviously it's just like dripping like chaos or dripping like, you know, flaming ectoplasm or some shit like that. You know, it's like it's chaos shit. So yeah. That's good. Number two.
Ooh, another space marine.
It is indeed.
What a treat.
I thought I'd get the space marines out of the way.
Well, okay. Boring ones first, yeah. He looks like, you know what he looks like with this? So, just to go through an amber description.
Go for it.
Typical blue space marine. some fancy guns. He's trying to be like Thor with his hammer. And he's got some weird arm that actually... With the weird, is it like Space Wolf, really?
He is a Space Wolf, yes.
See. The Space Wolf arm makes him look like he's turned into, do you remember Power Rangers?
Oh my God.
They transform into the big thing. Yeah, that's what it looks like. GW have combined a Space Marine with Power Rangers, so.
Power Rangers going to be suing somebody.
I know. Okay, cool.
Right, so he is Space Wolf.
Oh yeah, he's got his little loin thing as well.
Loin cloth, yeah. His little Frisian wolf sort of thing. So yeah.
Is that a Frisian grey as well?
I think they use Frisian grey, yes. That's cool, yes. Or rune grey, is it? I can't remember. Anyway, or fang grey.
Okay.
Anyway, so is he a fang priest? Sorry, a fang smith, I do apologise.
Oh gosh, mixing two.
I know, sorry, I do apologise. Is he a fang smith? Is he B, a rune priest? Or is he C, an iron priest?
Oh, fang smith sounds a bit lame. It does. Are you laughing because that's what it is?
I just like how you just say, like, that's fucking lame.
It is. Oh, beware, the fang smith is here. You just imagine him being like, oh, I say. And he'd be like, hello, everyone.
I'm Fang Smith.
Fang Smith makes me think of, like, if you put them as an actor, it would be the guy from Carry On. That's what I imagine being. Matron. Okay, I'll stop now. Rune priest, iron priest. I really want to say Fang Smith just because it's so stupid.
Oh shit!
But you know what? I'm gonna go for it.
You're gonna go for Fang Smith?
Yeah.
Really? You're gonna do it? You're gonna go for Fang Smith?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I think.
I don't know if it's funny or if it actually is so stupid it's true, and I'll kick myself for not picking it.
Could be, yeah. To be fair.
All right. If I'm being serious, I would go with Iron Priest.
Okay. See?
I don't know though, because he's a space wolf, so do they have. Isn't Iron Clan an actual thing, or is that a Destiny thing?
There's the Iron Hands, which is another Space Marine chapter, like the Space Wolves.
Then he has got a big hammer, so that could be the. You know, I don't know. Oh, it could be a rune priest. Iron Priest.
Iron Priest?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Last answer?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Uh huh.
It is an Iron Priest. So, yeah, Fang Smith just got made up.
Oh, that was my question. My next question was, did you make that up?
Yeah, I did. Of course I did, yeah. But the Space Wolves do have Rune Priests, and they are Rune Priests, I believe, are equivalent to Librarians, I think.
Okay.
So Iron Priests, as you can tell, are actually equivalent to Tech Marines of the Space Wolves.
Oh.
And they utilize things that they normally have, like, a certain type of hammer.
Yeah.
Instead of a, you know, because normally Tech Marines have the axes, the Omsine axes. Mm. They normally have iron hammers.
Okay.
And also his fancy gun that he said. Yeah. It's actually a frost blaster or something like that, or a frost gun or something like that. And basically, I can't remember what it's called. I'm not really good at Space Wolves. So it's like I think it's called a frost blaster. And it uses hell frost rounds and stuff. So basically, it's like basically.
Oh, okay.
It's like frost in a gun, basically. Yeah, so they use that type of weapon. So yeah, they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool space marine tech marines, or iron priests, as it were. So
Okay.
Nice one. 50%.
Yeah, I'll take that. So Tarrant asked me, I'd take that.
So number three. Now, it is a group of them, but obviously it's...
Just one.
Yeah.
He looks like he's come out of the Matrix.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, they look blind.
Yep.
They've got weird, like, lightning, like, scars on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing a skirt.
Yep.
With, like, basically, it looks like Warhammer Doc Martens. And he's got, like, handcuffs. But also look like... I sound so stupid on this.
No, you don't.
With the, you know, like, you'd have on the, like, electric charged...
Yes, like capacitors or something. Or
yeah.
Basically what Frankenstein would have on his
that's things. That's what I was like
electric
say.
Things going
yeah,
through
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say that. I don't want to seem like...
No.
Yeah, and then he's got glasses, like... Looks like he's got glasses.
It's not. They've actually been sewn shut.
His eyes have been sewn shut?
Yes.
Ooh, disgusting. Okay, you can see it more in the other one. His looks like he's got glasses like Morpheus, but the rest are all bandaged. Okay. Yeah.
So are these guys A, electro priests?
Ooh, that sounds like a party.
I know, yeah. B, are they mecha domini?
Ooh.
Or are they C, technomancers?
Technomancers. They're all shit names. Are you sure you haven't made all of them? I feel
electro
priest is a laugh.
Yeah.
Mecha domini is like domini. Robin trying to
domini.
Be... Yep. Trying to be clever.
Yep.
To sound like Warhammer. Oh,
okay.
And then technomancers. Well, there's no. Oh, okay. Yeah. Just dyslexic. Yeah. Okay. Techomancers. Technomancers. Just sounds the same as electro priests. Do the electro priests and the technomancers get together and dance? Do they have a dance off? That'd be quite cool.
Maybe.
Others haven't replied. Eliminate one for me.
You want to eliminate one? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to eliminate.
I'm going to get some cake power.
I'm going to eliminate the technomancers.
Technomancers is not real.
Okay. Yep. So all you've got is electro priests and the mecha domini.
Again, I'm stuck because it's either that is just clever or that's there to throw me because you know I pick it.
Maybe.
Because I would go for Mecha Domini because it sounds better than Electro Beasts. Oh, I don't know. I'm stuck.
Stucky.
Yeah.
Could ring a mom.
I know, but my mom hasn't texted me back.
Ring my mom. She'll be fine.
Yeah, but she might not answer me. It'll throw her off and it'll be unexpected. I don't want to put her off.
No, I'll be fine.
So the thing is, even if you'd eliminated Electro Priest and left Technomancers, I'd still be in the same debate.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
I haven't seen these before.
No, you probably haven't.
Electromancers. Are they quite old?
No, I wouldn't say they're that old. Nah. I mean, probably for the range they are, because they're from the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Okay. So. But then, I don't know what Domini translate. Unless Domini, I don't know. Does that actually translate to anything?
I don't think it does. I mean, it's GW at the end of the day.
Electro priests.
You're going to do a V?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Ding.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I made that fucking shit up.
I thought, right, I'm so glad that I thought that.
I just made it. I thought, oh, mecha, you know. And then I thought, I just typed in like the first like thing and just like, oh, Domini. Sure.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they are called Electro Priest. How shit is that?
Yeah, that is shit.
But they come in two forms. They come in those, I can't remember the call, but like these, like basically they've got like electric hands. Mm-hmm. So like, I can't remember his name now. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah. Anyway.
Paladin.
Paladin, that's it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I suppose you've got paladin hands and they shoot electric from their hands. Mm. But also, they can also not have those and they can have like these longer staffs, which have got like two like blades on each end. And they can fight with like those as well. But yeah, they are the priests of the Adeptus Mechanicus and they're quite elite sort of things. And obviously, they know a lot about them, you know.
Still shit name.
It's just still a very shit name. Obviously, I don't know much about them because they're Adeptus Mechanicus and I don't do much Adeptus Mechanicus. So yes, excellent. 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
We get the last one.
Probably not.
We don't have a male this time. We have a female. As you can probably tell, she is a sister of the battle.
Yay.
But what sister battle is she?
Mm.
Is she A, Castifier? Is she B, a Dialogus? Or is she C, a Missionary?
Oh! Why? Tell me why. I don't know. Can't we just call her Mary?
Mary. You could call her Mary. Marianne.
You wouldn't know she's a woman, though. There's no distinguishing
sort of features.
Distinct features that...
Yeah. Apart from the fact she's got maybe a little bit of hair, but then, I mean...
Oh, is that hair? I thought that was just her, like, head...
Well, she has got, like a head cowl, but then she's got, like, hair coming out of the sides of her
head. Oh, right, hair's a bit...
Yeah, it's backy, as usual.
Mm.
For all sisters of Bell.
She's got a weird pipe sticking out of her.
Oh, I think that's probably just from the ground. It's like,
oh, right,
it's
okay. Like... That's very bad, like, the way they've done that. It's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, we should say by a woman named one. It's a cast of fire.
Dialogus.
Dialogus.
And then I had to, obviously...
I don't know if you... Not to be mean, but I feel like a lot of the sisters' ones... This looks very much like...
None.
No. The model that you have, where they all rally up to a type of thing.
Oh, the canoness.
Canoness. It reminds me of that. Also reminds me, is this an older model?
No, it's one of the new ones.
This is one of the new... Well, GW, get your shit together.
There, you heard of GW. Amber said, get your shit together. Get your shit together.
It's just, come on, look at it. Like, they should be able to, not to rant, but...
Please rant.
But come on, like, if you're going to make a fit, I'm not saying make them, because I hate models where it's over the top.
Yeah, like, sexualized
because it's just men making models of women.
Basically.
But get a woman to look at this and go, hang on a minute, why would her hair be like that? Secondly, why has she got these big teeth sticking out of her face? Like, stop being harsh to her. Then the way they've tried to make things look like it's like blowing or swaying in the wind, and it looks like it's
looks
sticking
shit.
Out of it. It looks absolutely crap.
Yeah.
And why would she, if she was walking around, why would she have this dangling, a bit of parchment dangling?
Well, I think that parchment's been written as she's saying stuff, I think.
It just looks a bit crap.
Yeah, a bit shit, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just...
Well,
I'm
if
just
after this, I'll show you the original one of her. It looks
okay.
A bit worse.
Really?
Yeah. It does.
I really don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Take a guess. 33% chance, get it right. 33.3333%.
I've heard of Missionary, but I don't know if I have. B.
B?
Yeah.
You can go for B. Dialogus?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
You don't think about it? You don't think it's a Castifier?
It could be.
Or a Missionary?
It could be. But I just don't know. I have
don't
to
you
guess.
Support the Missionary's position?
I'm just not saying this.
You're going to go B?
Yeah.
Final answer. You want to phone a mum?
I do, but I don't think they'll answer me.
Okay. You can go B. Oh. Ding! It is a Dialogus. It's a Dialogus. So a Dialogus is sort of like the preacher of the Sisters of Battle. And what she does is, you see on, she's wearing like a harness with a loud hailer.
Yeah.
And what she does is she just preaches all the time. That's all she does, just preaches litanies and prayers to the sisters. Normally she'll preach them through the entire box casting system. So all the sisters will hear her. And also she'll loud hailer it as well. So obviously the enemies will hear it as well. And basically she's just basically to stir up the sisters, you know, make them fight harder or longer or faster or whatever. So yeah, she's quite a good in the new codex, in the 9th edition codex, she had quite a big buff. So people are, like, getting her quite a lot because she can do quite a bit of stuff. I'm not going to get it because I just don't like the model, as you said. And the original model is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I will show you. But yes. Anyway, well done. You know your priests, don't you?
Yeah.
4 out of 4. Well done. And I'm not trying to be funny. That's really good.
Thanks.
I'm actually quite... I thought you'd get the sister one. I thought you'd get the space marine one. I wasn't too sure about the chaos. And I didn't think you'd get the electric priests. But very fair dues, fair dues.
Thanks.
Yeah, well done.
I went with my gut.
Yeah, you did. And you need to use one of your lifelines as well, so fair play. So
yeah, is that the second time in all episodes that I've got all 4?
Well, yeah, I always think, because I always remember Dark Angels, you get all the Dark Angels, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had another one?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I know you had like 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Like, quite a few times.
Well.
There we go. So we know now. That
if anyone proves us wrong, let us know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So yeah, that's it for this podcast.
Yeah.
We've had our first bat rep. We've had our chat along, trying to get your partners involved, and then trying to get them away by doing a quiz with them, and then they won't ever talk about Warhammer ever again. because yeah, it's been a good episode, apart from obviously updates from GW. So yeah, GW just being douchebaggy because they're just bringing out more space marines. Black Templars.
I can't say that either, really.
No, I can say douchebags if I want. Because I haven't signed their contract thing that says I can't say anything bad about them. I can say what the shit I want about GW.
Woohoo! And then you'll never get a contract.
Nope.
Yay!
And I won't get anything free off them. So yes, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. And obviously, thank you, obviously, as usual, for Amber for taking part. So thank you, Amber.
You're welcome.
No, I'm welcome.
Yeah, I know you're welcome.
But if you have any feedback or any comments at all, as usual, you can get in touch with on Anchor. If you're listening to this on Anchor, there's a message system, which I didn't know about until I think a few weeks back. Also, you can find me on Twitter at CDR Robin Archer, or you can obviously email me at the podcast email at me, myself, and 40k, or one word, all lowercase, at gmail.com. Any feedback, comments, or ideas of things you would like, be great. But it's goodbye from me, and it's a goodbye from you.
Bye.
Bye, and see you for the next episode.